Today in our podcast, we have a special treat for you. In our desire to help equip you to disciple the hurting, Matt and I decided we would like to have occasional podcasts with special guests who we know will encourage you in your ministry of discipling the hurting. So listen in to be blessed.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Ferzonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
Okay, hi everybody. This is Matt Laster. I'm going to be doing the audio podcast today with Jesse Hernandez. He is somebody who Cherie knows that has been using the Men's Go in Peace curriculum. And I wanted to come all the way down here to Calvary Chapel Vista in Southern California and ask Jesse some questions himself. And so we have him here, and I want to just introduce him and say thank you for being a part of this, and let you know that I really appreciate just knowing that this is taking place here in California without even knowing it. You know, it's really cool knowing that God was working on your heart to take this curriculum and use it. And it's amazing to know that God can take things that we don't even know about and spark a fire in somebody else to then take that and lead the torch in a direction that we wouldn't even know was taking place. And to just know that that's been going on has been a huge inspiration. So thank you, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can I ask you a question? I wanted to ask you something about your relationship with, or when you came in contact with this Go in Peace curriculum. You know, how did you hear about it, and kind of what sparked your interest in it?
Yeah, well, before I can go there, I got to give you a little bit of background and history, a short testimony, which will then lead into the curriculum. I was a man who was born, you know, a single parent mom, no dad in my life for the most part. And in a young point in my life, I was molested, and which led to me wanting to commit suicide. Then later on, I was in a place of you know, getting caught up in drugs and alcohol and sexual immoralities of crazy sorts and just a lot of dark things. And I ran and joined the military, and then came out. And then later on in my young adult life, I was a part of two girls getting pregnant, and they both had abortions. The first one was, you know, not so crazy. The girl's the one who chose to do it, and she just went and did it the next day. But the second one was really dark for me, and the fact that the girl almost died. We had to go to another Planned Parenthood place, and they basically said that the job originally that was done was incorrect, and she had internal bleeding, and there was still internal parts of the child still there. They had to do the process all over again, and that's when I was just really struck with, like, what am I doing here? What is this? What kind of a man am I? So later on, within a year after that, I had met who is now my wife, Angela. She was saved, and I wasn't saved during that time. And she, in our dating process, she had led me to go to church with her, and I had received Jesus into my life. And then we had gotten married soon after that, and then we'd go to church and hear a lot of messages, and the scriptures that would talk about, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, would just convicted me every time I was, I would hear those messages. And I always felt like a second class Christian. And I was never, that what Jesus did for me was never enough. And I just felt like I was ashamed of myself for the things that I'd done. That there's no way I could ever tell somebody I did this. And you'd always hear women always talking about their abortions and abortion, and but you never hear men ever talk about it. So it was like that unspoken thing that, you know, men are hardened, and we don't need to share those things, and, you know, just be quiet and keep on going. But it just hurt me over the years of doing this. So as my walk progressed with the Lord, I just started having home fellowships at my house, and I started going to men's studies, and the men's studies group I was going to, we were walking through a book, and the teacher asked me to share on this, on a certain section. So my first time ever teaching, and it was on sexual morality, and I just was so convicted that during that time of teaching with the men and walking through it, that I felt the Lord say now. So I finally shared this secret of abortion in my life, and when I left there, a bunch of guys that were in that group came up to me silently saying, yeah, man, me too, me too. And they were whispering as if they were ashamed. And I said, you don't need to be quiet about it. I think it's something that we need to start talking about. So later on that year, I was facilitating a home group Bible study with men and women. And I was sharing this, and there was a lady who was really telling me about go in peace when I mentioned, you know, abortion, that there's this, you know, curriculum, go in peace. And my wife recently had gone through the go in peace retreat up in Murrieta. They said that there's a men's group that they're going to start the very first one up there, and we'd, you know, would like for you to go and attend. So that's where it came. Here's, you know, back full circle to your question of how did I come in contact with the curriculum. Is my wife had just came through it. She told me some amazing things. She also had an abortion in her life, and that's why, you know, one of the reasons why she went. There was more than that, but when she came back, she stirred my heart, and then this lady shared this thing with me, and I said, sign me up. How do I do it? And there was three other guys in our home group that were there too. I said, sign me up too. I want to go because I've had this in my past too. And, you know, guys just started coming out. So we went, and we were like these forerunners and went through the process. And as we went through the curriculum throughout the 2-day, 3-day retreat, there was more than just abortion in my life that I felt cleansed from, that I was no longer ashamed of. But there were other things of unforgiveness and hatred and anger that I just laid down. And the curriculum just really brought that out and allowed me truly to go in peace, as a sinful woman did, just having faith and giving these things over. So that's kind of the story leading up to it, and how I came in contact with it. And then soon after, the facilitators of that group that I went to asked me and my wife to come back to be a part of the leadership team, to be facilitators and to take this and keep running with it. And we felt called to do that too by the Lord before they even asked us. So it was a huge door for us. So we took the curriculum, we walked through it slowly, learned it, and then we started hosting retreats at our own house. You know, she would do women's studies and I would do men's studies, and we've been doing them ever since. That was back in 2013, so about 5-6 years now we've been part of this and doing these type of curriculum, walking through it.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing your testimony with that, because I think that many people out there, you know, when they hear of things like conviction through abortion, they mostly assimilate it with women and don't really bring the men to be included in that kind of scenario. And it's very interesting to hear your story and to be able to know that even through Angela going through that healing process, that then inspired you, because I feel like, you know, we should as men be feeling those same convictions when something like that happens. Yes. You know, to just think that maybe it's someone else's responsibility and it doesn't fall on us as well, you know, that's not right either. But to know that you needed to be, you know, set free from that was amazing. I've never heard a testimony like it, so that's great.
Thanks for that.
Can I also ask you, you know, you did say that you are taking men through it, so can you kind of touch base a little bit about when you take other men through this? Are they mostly struggling with kind of like what you had said, needing to be kind of like a cleanse from that shame or guilt? Or is there other parts of their life? Because we kind of also mentioned things like anger or bitterness, or maybe someone had an offense towards them. What things do you see becoming really useful for men using Go in Peace?
Yeah, there's a lot of things with men that they struggle with, and a lot of times it isn't abortion. A lot of anger, a lot of separation. A lot of men didn't have fathers, single parents like myself. So they've got a lot of resentment and bitterness towards, you know, family situations, even their parents or even their mothers, who were the ones who raised them and nurtured them as best they could. They may not have felt like their mother had done, you know, a good enough job, but when we walk through some of these things, we see how they tend to lean on, you know, that's as much as they knew as they could, and they weren't designed to be the father. So for them to lay down those things of just hating their past and things like that, which had led them also to dabble into alcohol and drugs, which then led to, you know, that sin in itself led to other sins of consequences, which just snowballed out of control and led them to have many stains on their lives that have came from that. So when we walk through the curriculum, it really unfolds and allows these men to see, as the Lord reveals to them, you know, what is really the core of who they are and why they act and respond to any situation, whether good or bad. And and seeing that it's the situation isn't the situation. It's the fact that they've got a pain and a hurt from their past that they've never dealt with. And now we bring it to a forefront and allow them to just like hit it straight on so they can, you know, talk about these things. And we know it's through confession with your mouth that you know, when they hear it versus just thinking it, there's something about that. Or even putting, you know, pen to paper and seeing it in writing, like, wow, this is what's really, this is who I am. This is my characteristics that allows them to really shine a light on these dark things and be willing to let go and move forward in knowing who they are in Christ and taking on their identity and wearing the Lord well within their life.
It's really interesting because I, like, as you're saying that, I'm kind of feeling like I'm hearing like an opportunity here to be set free from almost that like kind of victim mentality. And I feel like our culture today really like encourages people to feel that way, you know, like that they have every right to feel that way. And I feel like when they buy into that, they just buy in this bondage of anger and bitterness. And they think that, yeah, I have this right to hold on to this forever. And I don't need to let it go. And it's mine to have and own. And they're not seeing that these are just chains that they're putting on, you know, and it's really like incredible to hear that you've seen it firsthand with these guys being able to let those things go and grow from that and, you know, go on. I mean, honestly, here I'm just kind of, even though I'm the host of this conversation, I really like am encouraged hearing about what you've been doing. And like I said, knowing that you've been doing it for years without knowing that you've been doing it, and it's just incredible. So I'm really encouraged by it. So thank you.
Yeah, that was a great point about the victim mentality, or the also the entitlement and mentality that I deserve this because these bad things happen to me. You know, we don't deserve anything, but we can receive a gift that's free that only Jesus gives us. And in that free gift of receiving, we then can be poured out the blessings of what he wants to give us. And you know, again, we're not entitled to it, but it's given to us if we want to receive that. And then with the outcome from that received gift, gives us those things that we can not feel like I need to take. And I think that's that entitlement, like I need to take this because I deserve this. This bad thing happened to me and it shouldn't have, and you know, on and on and on, and making up all the lies and excuses that the enemy likes to use. So yeah, that's I think that was a great point that you know, make about that.
Well, and you even just said right now that the enemy likes to use, and I think that people sometimes forget that it is a spiritual battle that's taking place, and the number one, you know, I feel like weapon the enemy has is deception, and to make us think that, you know, these are things that we have, like we, like, you know, that we want to hold on to, the, you know, that anger or bitterness because it feels good, and, you know, the enemy tells us, yeah, those are yours to own and to keep, but how deceived are we to think that, you know, that those are good things to hold on to when Jesus is like, no, lay those at my feet, and I'll give you joy and peace, and, you know, the other things that are much more valuable, much more pleasant to carry on for the rest of your life, you know, and so it's cool to kind of just see how it's being used, and it's tangible for people to kind of let those things go. And I think that one thing that I noticed with Go in Peace as well is that there is this definitive moment of letting those things go. And I feel like sometimes people too often they've kind of like moved on past it, but yet they're still bringing it with them.
And
I feel like the curriculum kind of is pretty good about leaving it in the past, walking in it as a new creation.
A total purge and release moment.
Well, the last question I wanted to ask is, do you have any advice for other men who might be considering using the curriculum? How could they get started? Should they, you know, go through it first? Should they, you know, just kind of take a group through it first? How do you advise someone who wants to take people through it or wants to maybe see what's in store here and see, can they use it in maybe their church setting or their small group?
Yeah, for men, I definitely would recommend every man go through it as an attendee and just, you know, marinate or soak up the material and allow the process that is laid out in there for that to be happen, for them to expose what's in their past and in their hearts that they don't even realize, again, talking about that piece, but for them to go through it and then to take the material and just take other men through it however they see fit, and some question, well, what does that look like? Is it like, you know, doing a big huge sermon on it? And it's in small groups is where the impact is. You know, we like to go with 10 or less. That's including facilitators, co-facilitators.
Cool.
Because you get a good dynamic of conversation that really allows guys to feel safe. If they don't feel safe, they're not going to be free. Even you know, trusting in the Lord is one thing, but others don't trust men or women. So to trust men who are willing to be vulnerable and open to them first, which allows the Lord to really soften their heart to break through, is a huge thing. So if there's any man who wants to go through or to start it at their church, find a place that is actually doing it. There's a couple churches in Southern California that are doing this ministry, and take it and run with it. And you can do it in weekly sessions, or you can do it in a concentrated weekend retreat, which I personally highly recommend. I've done both. It just feels more impactful, and the relationship is there, and there's no break in the spirit's moving. And just that condensed, concentrated focus in it is just huge and very, very impactful. So, yeah, I would say, pick it up and read it.
Very cool.
Walk through it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So go through it first yourself.
Yeah.
And then bring others through it with you.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Jesse, for your time. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your encouragement and even guidance on how to take this and let it start taking off somewhere else. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sharif Razonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.